The following program is presented by Kevin Shorey Ministries, whose mission is to fulfill the Great Commission by spreading the word that Jesus is the answer for this world today. Live from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, it's time once again for another edition of AM Kevin, starring evangelist, composer, and gospel artist Kevin Shorey and the entire AM Kevin Club gang. And now, reaching coast to coast and around the world with the message that Jesus is the answer for this world today, is your host, Kevin Shorey.
Well, isn't it a great day to serve the Lord? Come on, here's a song to start off with. Jesus is coming soon for sure.
There is coming a day, yes, there is, when no heartache shall come. No more dark clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. There'll be just peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
You can sing it with me, come on.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. It won't be long.
Oh, I believe that the signs are everywhere.
Till we'll be leaving here.
Said it won't be.
It won't be long.
Till we'll be going. We'll be going home. Come on, let's proclaim it.
It won't be long.
Jesus said to tell her brother, Maranatha, the Lord is coming.
Till we'll be leaving here.
I know that I know
it won't be long. We'll be going home.
So right now,
count the years as months.
We can count the months.
Count the months as we. What a day, glorious day.
song. How are you doing today? Isn't it a great day to serve the Lord? My mic bounced. I'm one less mic. Please donate today. I'm kidding. I'm so glad that you're watching today, and I'm raring to go. I missed y'all so much. It has been so many days, so long. It's good to see you. Larry's alive and well. Phyllis and Bob out there in Arizona. I love to read the Facebook posts anyway. If there's any YouTube, send them over. Oh, Larry's already sending them over. Yes, Karen out there. Do you know the way to San Jose? Karen does. That's where she's from. Yes, Mel and Catherine out in Virginia. Sherry, let's see. Sherry is in the house. Is Nancy and Isaiah in yet? All the Idaho delegation in for sure. There's Nancy and Isaiah, says God morning. In Idaho. Yes, Laura in Indiana. Grew up singing that song. Yeah, me too. That's why I put it on the, do I have it here somewhere? Of all my CDs, there we go, Growing Up Gospel, and did it. And I'm offering it a special, as a matter of fact. I want to pray first before I don't get to the offering, but there's Pastor Kenny out there in Ohio. God bless you for watching. I hope I did not miss anybody so far. Big potatoes. You know, Sherry, you keep bringing up the potatoes in Idaho, and I'm telling you, the Maine potatoes are better. So I'm just saying, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. If you want those big potatoes, yes, Idaho. But those little red potatoes for Maine, maybe because my father was from Maine and he grew up picking those potatoes, and my grandmother and grandfather were potato farmers, so I don't know. Laura says a package will be. Well, I've got the Laura Oolong tea in my AM Kevin Club mug. I'm wanting to get the offering, but I don't want to do it right now. I want to definitely open up in a word of prayer and believe for you. And it just seems like it's been so long. And I think a week ago today was our last program. So it has been. It's been quite a blessing. You know, it's been quite a bit of a time since I've been there. Phyllis is now she's saying Idaho potatoes are the best. Well, okay. All right, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Anyway, I sure love you, and I sure missed you and appreciated all of your kind words while I was gone. I did, when I did an update from the car, and y'all were there to say praying for me and get some rest and all that good stuff, so I appreciate that so very much. God, I thank you for this day, because it is the day that you have made, so we can't help but rejoice and be glad in it. I bless you, Lord, and I thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, and I thank you for healing me and healing all of those within the sound of my voice. I speak healing, because you said healing is the children's bread, that by your stripes we're healed, that you sent your word and healed our disease, and the scripture just verifies over and over again that you're still healing and performing miracles, and perform a miracle for families, let there be restoration. Touch my dear friend Ellen right now there in Montana, and strengthen her, and Karen, all these that need a healing touch from you. Laura needs your touch. Nancy, Sherry, Isaiah, Larry, his friend Wally, God bless him and heal him of his cancer. Darius and Judy, touch them down there in Texas and protect them. They're right there on the border. Protect them, God, and be with them. I thank you, God, that you have, we could, everyone that's on today and everyone that will come to this program, watch this program, can testify of your goodness and the things that you've done. And we speak blessing also in every career, business, ministry, or job that it moves forward in 2024. Every transaction we partake in will be successful. We proclaim every goal will be met. Every God-given dream will be accomplished. And we speak blessing, favor, success, fruitfulness, and increase in every endeavor. But most of all, whether ministry, your job, or career, business you've given us, we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I thank you, God, for healing our nation, especially in election year, God. Let there be peace and not division. Let this be one nation under God once again with liberty and justice. God, and we pray for peace in Israel and the Ukraine and other places around the world that are experiencing wars and rumors of wars. God, I just thank you, God. I thank you
that you have done so many things in the past, so we know you're able to do it again. As a matter of fact, we stand on another word that says you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power of God that works in and through us. So we stand on your word, and we thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you did in Florida this past weekend, and you healed bodies. One man whose shoulder I don't know, how do you say it's out of place? There's another, he had a fancy word for it. But God, you put it back into place and his shoulder was healed. God, there's so many of those kind of miracles that happened on Sunday, as well as those that were ministered to the gospel and rededicated their lives to you. I thank you, God, so much for the word that you gave me and for healing me after food poisoning to be able to stand up in that congregation and preach and sing. God, you're a good God. All the time we give you praise in Jesus' name. And you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, why don't you put, that's right, a dislocated shoulder. Thank you, Larry. That's why you're my co-host from Modesto. Amen, amen. And I want you to put a good loud amen. How do you do a loud amen? Facebook or YouTube, put it in capital letters and it seals the deal. You know, amen means it is forever settled in the heavens. And we have a man on today. I'm telling you, this man is the man. He is the man. He could probably tell me literally what amen means. I've noticed that I've read that it means it is forever settled in the heavens, or so be it. It's done. It is finished. It is accomplished. All that good stuff. He could tell so many things about the Bible, about, what did you say? I don't know. You didn't mention archaeology, but it's kind of like archaeology, paleontology, which he's going to have to tell me the difference. Biology, astronomy. This is David Reeves, and I know you know, you've seen his program in the past on TBN. He's got a new program now. This it's the Wonders Without Numbers, right, is the name of the program, and he's going to be on in just a minute. That's right, David Reeves is actually, he's here in the studio. He didn't even have to Skype. You know why? Because he's a Tennessee brother. He lives just down the road, and I'm so glad that he is here. But I have missed you so much, and I just, many of you have ordered the new, I haven't been to the post office since I got back, so I'm going today, and I'm sure I'm going to be sending out orders for the new and improved Can't Stop Now CD. See, get it with the green light, Can't Stop Now. See, I don't know. Tried to be clever, I don't know. But this is a reproduced CD made from the old cassette of the 1990s. There it was. That was me. That was my eyes. I never did like that. Thought it was dumb, but the producer thought that would be so cool. Can't Stop Now. He's looking into the future. No. So it's off cassette. It is on CD now, and we have that available, and that is $20, two for 30, just like everything else is, unless 40 years. We are celebrating 41 years. Last year, 40 years. We gave out a photo, an anniversary photo album for those who give $40 this year for, thank you, Nancy. She likes my tie. Although I do think the knot's a little small. I did it a little small, but then I want, are you wearing a tie? No, good. So my tie is fine. Because if he had the tie, then I would have to change. Hi, Miss LaDonna. This brother, LaDonna, I think, maybe it was LaDonna, a good partner, who created the Tumblr for 41-year anniversary, that told me about those places in Dixon. He's from Dixon, LaDonna. Well, you guys were the ones that told me about the good restaurants in Dixon. Anyway, she likes my shirt and tie. All right, guys, come, you're going to make me blush. She has created this tumbler which comes with a metal straw, and so it's permanent. It comes with a cleaner to clean out the inside, but it keeps it cold. I have kept the same water and ice in here. It's not still ice, but it's still cold. For a week, I was gone. The water's still cold. So it keeps things cold. The cold thing's cold. The hot thing's hot. Anyway. Hey, David. I don't know. She's saying hi to David. There's a David on there. Evan says, best show, bar none. Thank you. Connor, my old compatriot from, is that the word for it? We used to work at Jim Baker together. Yes. Blue is my color. Okay. All right. So this is the Jesus is the answer for the world today. That's our catchphrase. There's our website, kevinshore.com. There's all the platforms we're on at the bottom. And we're actually more than that. We added one network. No, there it is. I'm wrong. We did in time. So it's all there, I think. except for the podcast network. But get the tumbler, $41. And I thought, oh, $41, that'll help our ministry. That really helps us get to the next year, 42 years. But I just couldn't just give a tumbler away. These tumblers cost me about whatever. But I thought, how about a tumbler and pick to any two gifts. Any two gifts. Go to our website, kevintroy.com, which you see scrolling across the screen as we speak, and pick any two, the CDs. That's what I was starting to say, like the Can't Stop Now or the Grown Up Gospel. I'm going to be, this is on the 23rd, will be the anniversary, I can't believe it, 8 years since my mom passed away, and this was dedicated to my mama. She even sings on the CD, but one of the songs she taught me was What a Day That Will Be, and Andre Crouch's It Won't Be Long. And then at the end of the program, the last song she played for me, a chorus called Falling in Love with Jesus. Anyway, that's on this CD. So pick any two, not one, but two bonus gifts. Maybe the kid's armor, which dispels electromagnetic fields off of your cell phone, microwave, laptop. Any of those kind of things that generates electromagnetic fields, which once again, a scientist could probably tell me what that means. But this actually cools everything down so it does not cause harm to your skin. So this is called Kids Armor. Maybe our Friends of Israel, which Evan just said, we stand with Israel for sure, and not Hamas. I like a good hummus, but that's about the closest it comes to. Anyway, dumb joke. I don't know. That this is the cross of Calvary and the Star of David. All in one. We're the only ones that have this. It was copywritten, given to us, the Kevin Shorey Show official T-shirt. Any two gifts that you so choose, we will send to you as a bonus if you send $41. Do it today and help us to lead people to Jesus and let them know that Jesus is the answer for this world. Now, we get up every morning thanking God for the day because every day is a holiday. And because it's Frog Month, we even got a dancing frog on this one. April is supposed to be Frog Month. Every day is a holiday. And on the 18th of April in 2002, somebody made this, incorporated this as a holiday.
Every day is a holiday, celebrating some person, place, or thing. And here at AM Kevin, we'd love to acknowledge each and every one. Here's Kevin with today's special day.
I love this. And you know, it was birthed, honestly, out of, as a minister for 40 years, I have seen so many people say, I don't even know if it's worth getting up in the morning. They let depression, you know, that spirit of heaviness. And I want to help you put on the garment of praise so the spirit of heaviness falls by saying, yeah, every day is worth getting up, especially today if you have pets. It is created by somebody. I didn't have a name, but it is a valid holiday called Pet Owners Independence Day. What is Pet Owners Independence Day? Well, it's for pet owners, first of all. Do you have a pet, David? You do? Dog, cat?
That's just a dog.
Just a blue heel. Oh, nice. Good choice. On Pet Owners Independence Day, Brother David, we can act like our pets. That's it. They are on their own. We now can, we make them go to work while we lay around, take naps, just eat and drink, and I'm not so sure if we should go to the bathroom outside, but we can, it's Pet Owners Independence Day. And of course, on that note, it's worth getting up for. On that note, oh, let me show. I got to show a picture of the babies. We got to have that for sure. Let's see. I used it last week with some sort of pet day. And it's the three of them. I have two schnauzers and a kitty cat that showed up at our door. There they are standing at the door of the studio on Pet Owners Independence Day. And of course, my jokes had to do with pets. So let's take our medicine because laughter does good like a medicine. And Larry has updated it from joke of the day to jokes of the day because we tell at least two now.
Here's Kevin with today's jokes.
And he put the banana splits on there. This is way before your time. But the banana splits was one of my favorite cartoons. Oh my. I loved it as a kid. Thank you, Larry. Larry, you will never ever be fired. We will never, ever part ways. We will always be friends just because of the Banana Splits. I just love, I don't remember their theme song, but it was something like the banana, I don't know. And they would play cartoons and they were live characters. And anyway, did you know one owner said to his neighbor, one dog owner said, my dog is so smart that every morning he waits for the paper boy to come around. He tips the kid and then brings a newspaper to me along with my morning coffee. That's how smart my blue heeler is. And the second dog owner says, well, I know, because my dog told me. Right? Oh. I heard David laugh anyway. But just in case, people don't laugh at that one. But okay, I get it. In case they don't laugh at that one, I always have another one. Are you ready? What do you call a dog that's a magician, right? A magician. A dog that's a magician. Let me get this right. A labracadabra. A labracadabrador. Thank you. A labracadabrador. That is my story. I gotta get back. Phyllis is saying that her dog can do what? Oh no, your cat. Babykins can do the dishes. What? Oh yeah. Oh, can do because it's Pet Owner's Independence Day. Yeah, make them do all the things. You're independent. You're going to lay around, take naps. That's what you're going to do. Thanks for the LOL, even though it was a courtesy one. But I have some great news for you. Today, believe it or not, the one, the only, the researcher of great and mighty things that proves, I think that probably the best thing that you do and is prove the Bible is true, is the word of God. Because as we were saying before, if there's one part that's not correct, right, then we throw the whole thing out. And some like to do that anyway, but it's not true. And here is a man who can tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, would you come on up here, brother? It is David Reeves, right? Come on, and we have... Yes! Are you kidding me? I am so glad you are here. I am shocked that you're here. I don't know how Ruthie pulled it off because I don't know. But thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
What a blessing. Oh, my goodness. And look at his baby face. You know, you wouldn't know he's this big scientist that knows all these great things, but he has his podcasts and television programs, Wonders Without Numbers. And then there's something that's called... 21 verses backed by science.
Yeah, that's my second book.
It's a book.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's a book. Okay,
it is also a documentary that that's has won several awards at film festivals.
Of course,
but yeah,
yes. And you studies in biology. I know what that is. Astronomy. Okay. I got that. But now, what's the difference between archaeology and paleontology?
Yeah, and thanks, Kevin, for not saying. You don't know how many times I've come on a show and the host says, oh, yeah, and David has studied astrology.
Oh, no. I know. I've heard people do that.
You know, it's an easy mistake to make, but then I'm always like, wait, let's back up. Astronomy is the scientific study of what God has put in the heavens. No.
Astrology's garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paleontology and archaeology.
Yes.
All right, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Archaeology is looking at past history, which usually has to deal with where humans have been, okay? So those would be human artifacts, pottery. Those would be ancient remains of buildings, those sort of things, right?
Okay.
Whereas paleontology, and I have a little bit of experience in both. I've been to Israel about a dozen times. I've worked on archaeological sites.
Wow.
But paleontology is looking at past life in the fossil record, okay? So think of dinosaurs, think of fossils, think of anything that has to do with, like, biology that then was died, buried, and turned to stone.
See, and I would think that, and I think maybe others would, maybe I'm not the only dum-dum, but that archaeology was dinosaurs and the T-Rex and all.
Right.
But paleontology, that's the... Okay. And, okay. Oh, man. I'm just about to explode because there's so many things that frustrate me about what people say. I've been watching this documentary and it just, it seems so strange. It's not even a documentary. It seems like it's a fantasy show or that, let's see, what network do I watch this on? I believe that it's on, it's with the Apple. TV.
Okay.
Apple TV has the Predators, the Prehistoric Predators program. Have you seen this?
I have not
garbage?
Seen it.
So it's like, it's that Attenborough guy with his
David
British voice.
Yes,
and he says, and now we're going to a billion years ago, and we're watching the Velociraptor fight with the whatever. And it's like it's like an Animal Kingdom show that there is if they're existing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, he gets me. I'm lost at a billion years ago, right?
Right.
Am I? I mean, you've seen the fossils,
no.
You've seen the bones. Is this planet millions and millions and billions of years old?
Not at all. I lead dinosaur digs. I have dug up the bones of these massive animals that David Attenborough is talking about. Who knows if he's ever even been in the field and dug them up himself?
Do
that.
Just reading a script.
And then I bring all of these fossils back into the lab, and we start to study them. Well, I, along with my colleagues, we did a documentary, I guess it was a couple of years ago, called Echoes of the Jurassic.
Okay.
And I hosted and narrated it. And what we were looking at is, I think it was 2006 when this first became very prominent. There were two paleontologists, two people that dig up dinosaurs, Dr. Mary Schweitzer and her colleague, Dr. Jack Horner. Now, Horner was a part of the Jurassic Park series. He was advising them on Jurassic Park, right?
All right.
Okay, so they're digging in the Hell Creek Formation in Montana, which is where you find all these, you know, T-Rexes and all that. Okay.
Here you go, Ellen. You have the T-Rexes up in your neck of the woods.
And they come across a T-Rex, which is very well preserved. And they said, wow, this is amazing. We've got to bring this back to the lab and study it. So they brought in... number one, they found this leg bone, the femur of the T-Rex, in perfect condition.
Okay.
They dug around it, and they said, we'll take a helicopter. We're going to fly a helicopter in here,
okay,
cradle the leg bone under the helicopter,
okay,
and take it back to the lab to study it.
Okay.
Helicopter comes in, and then they realize, wait a second, this bone is so massive, it's turned to stone. It's basically like a massive boulder now.
Yeah.
It's from a huge T-Rex. The helicopter won't pick it up. So what are we going to do? So they've got this mystery, and they don't know exactly how to handle it, but they figure out, all right, here's what we're going to do. And this would have scared me. They said, we are going to cut it in half.
Ooh.
All right, this beautiful new find.
Yeah.
We're just going to cut it in half so it's half as heavy. We'll take one half out, then take the other half out. So
okay.
Sounded like a wild idea, but they cut it in half. Now, when they did, in this T-Rex bone, which they had assumed was buried 66 plus million years ago, just like we hear in all the documentaries, right? Inside of it was soft, stretchy blood vessels.
Really?
Still existing.
Well, then, yeah.
It can't be.
There's no way.
All right, so then they're faced with this massive, massive problem because there's only two ways to answer this conundrum. Either these dinosaurs did not go extinct 66 million years ago, but instead were probably buried in some catastrophic event, maybe like a big flood. We do read about something like that in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, which would be long enough to start to turn the bone into a fossil on the outside, but to still have soft, gooey stuff on the inside. So that makes sense. That's one option. The only other option is somehow stretchy blood vessels can last 66 million years. Now, guess what the secular, atheistic scientific community of paleontologists decided? Out of those two options, they said, somehow, I guess, blood vessels can still be stretchy, right? But that's a grasp that is way outside of the realm of reality. That's trying to salvage a dying theory when in reality what we're finding is that this Earth and the entire universe is showing these patterns of design that point back to a younger universe, a universe that was created by God in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the answer. The answer is right there in front of them. You know, I watch this entertaining prehistoric predator show. It's entertaining, but they have so many different species that it seems to me they're just putting Are most of the things that they say are dinosaurs really dinosaurs, or are they putting bones together that really make no sense?
Well, that's
why when were dinosaurs then?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin. And actually, there's a lot of truth in the types of dinosaurs that these shows represent. I have dug up the bones of, triceratops-like creatures.
So that's cool. They're real.
Yeah, they're mostly real. Tiny bit of artistic reconstruction because. Let's think about it. We typically don't find their muscles. We absolutely, when they find their skeletons, we do not find a tag telling us how old it is.
Yeah.
It says, I was buried, blah, 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 millions of years ago. No. We don't find their behavior. So what you see on those shows, they hunted in packs. How do you know that, right? Or they were extremely intelligent creatures that could somehow determine where their prey was from 50 miles away. Wait a second. How do we know this?
How do we? We don't.
You don't. You find the bones, and then you assume the rest.
I thought scientists went with the facts.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you, Kevin, and this is what everybody needs to take away.
Okay.
Science is real. Science is 100% true. Science doesn't lie.
Right.
Science is always supporting biblical history being correct. And now let me contrast that and tell you, scientists do lie.
Yeah.
Scientists take the data, reinterpret it to fit their agenda.
No way. No way.
So when everybody says follow the science, what I always say is, well, I do follow the science. What I don't follow are faulty, sinful scientists
right,
who have reinterpreted the data.
Very good, Dave. May I call you David?
Absolutely.
Okay? Man, I'm telling you, LaDonna must know your family. Says she loves the Reeves family.
Oh, that's
the Coopers,
great.
Ray and LaDonna.
LaDonna Cooper, Ray and LaDonna, absolutely.
LaDonna's the one that
designed
the new Tumblr.
Well, LaDonna, if you're listening out there right now, it's great to see you. We need to go to Steak and Shake sometime again and hang out because it's been way too long.
And those West Virginia potato chips are amazing. She brought me, we had potato chip day one day. She said, you got to try the real deal, the best ones. And you are so right about those. They're so good. They're still not all gone. But I did not give you the real proper introduction, but you have the shows, the documentaries, the books, two books, 16 years in TV, almost 16 years in TV and radio, and even a singer and a songwriter who's had a top 40 hit called In His Hands, which you probably heard, y'all have heard. But, how recent is the new museum?
The new museum just opened about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
We're so excited. We just opened in Dixon. It is a this massive over 100,000 square feet. Largest science museum in Tennessee, and by far the largest science museum in the world from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, because you go to, and this is what frustrated me. I would go to museums around the world, whether it's the British Museum, the American Museum of Natural History, whether it's Smithsonian, wherever it is, and I would always love the science. But then they take that science, you walk into the anthropology section, and you see a chimpanzee skeleton, and you see then a bonobo, and then a gorilla, and then a human, and it says, this is you.
Really
this is where
me.
You came from.
Yeah.
Millions of children are walking through, they see a sign that factually states, this is you, pointing
How
to the chimpanzee.
How can they actually do that?
It's crazy, and that is what is child abuse, because what is it saying? It's teaching children from 5 years old and younger that they're an animal, that they're nothing more than an accident of the universe,
and
right?
And that there is no God.
And that there is no God. So these kind of kids, then they grow up learning that this is true, and when they get a little bit older into their teenage years and they start acting like animals, how do you justify that?
Yeah.
Well, we're animals. Why can't we act like
animals?
Why not? One animal kills another animal, so why can't school shootings be a good thing? Just survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So this is the danger of accepting some of these ideas of Darwinian evolution and chance origins that have affected our society the last two or three generations especially. To the idea that now we're walking around saying we have no purpose in life. We're seeing 22 veteran suicides every single day.
Yeah.
We're seeing teen suicide on the rise.
Yeah.
And we wonder why. Maybe it's because you've taught the youth of this society that they are accidents of the cosmos, star stuff over billions of years of chance evolution, and all of a sudden you're
David
wondering. Exactly. And all of a sudden you're wondering why they're behaving this way, why they're killing themselves.
Or killing babies. Because
that's right.
Why was matter?
You have to get back to real scientific facts, which tell us that we are wonderfully made, we're made with purpose, we are no accidents, and that Jesus Christ is truly the answer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How did you come up on this? Now, are you originally from Tennessee? Because you ain't got the accent, so I don't know.
I was born, actually, with a thick Southern accent in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte! My old stomping grounds, yeah.
And I moved to Tennessee when I was around 8 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
So I've
You've
lived...
You've escaped the accent.
I have done away with the accent.
David,
I've traveled so
David,
much that
come back
somehow...
to your roots, brother. Come on.
No, it's I have traveled all around the world. It's been a blessing. It's been this amazing adventure since, well, before I was 18 years old.
Did you have a affinity towards science and all?
Oh,
I mean, did
yes.
you just love it from
yeah.
as a kid?
You know, actually, I liked history more. I liked
yeah.
history
oh, I love
from
history,
a young, young age. I would actually just open up encyclopedias or open up an online encyclopedia
you are talking
and begin
my language,
to
brother.
Read
yes.
every entry. And then around 16, I started to connect cameras to the back of telescopes just as a hobby
yeah.
to try to take a picture of space, you know. Let's see if I can take a picture of a galaxy or a nebula or whatever it is. Well, all of a sudden I realized that science and history go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal, Kevin. You can't actually understand science without knowing the history of science. And you can't understand history without studying things using scientific methods like astronomy, archaeology, anthropology, paleontology. So the two go hand in hand, and that's when science began to just take over my life, and I realized I could use this to point people back to
wow.
the design
yeah.
of our Creator.
Wow, wow. And you've been studying and researching for so many years. How old would you say the Earth is then? I mean, I've heard what the actual number is by Christian,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
scientists.
According to most of the atheists of our day, the Earth is about 4.5 billion years
yeah,
old,
no.
and the universe is about 14 billion years
Can't
old.
Be.
But according to the actual new scientific discoveries, as well as according to biblical chronology, which, by the way, was written thousands of years ago, yet it's lining up with our newest discoveries in science.
From space and revolutions of the sun and whatever, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We're looking at around 6,000 years of universal history.
Exactly, exactly. 6 to 7 is usually what yeah. the guys say. But they almost have it to the day.
Yes.
Now,
well,
because of the technology we have.
Not only because of the technology, but then if you start to read biblical chronology, you can get it down
it.
To just a few years' time.
That's so much.
And how else would we have known this?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody says that the Bible is this... They say, David, you're one of those Christians. You probably believe in that ancient... A collection of myths written by ancient sheep herders,
talk about
right?
Myths.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So to which I always reply, I go out and I speak in churches, I have the television programs and all of that. As soon as a skeptic comes up to me and they tell me that, or it comes up in Q&A, whatever happens, I raise my hand and I'm like, you got a portion of this correct.
Yeah.
I do believe in an ancient book of writings written thousands of years ago by sheep herders, by poets, by kings.
Yeah.
Guess what those people weren't? They weren't scientists. And yet somehow they got the science 100% correct. They got the history 100% correct.
Come
they got
on.
The prophecy 100%
Come
correct.
On.
The gospel message 100% correct.
Yeah.
There is no way that that would be possible unless... The Bible is what it claims to be, the divine, inspired
Word
of God.
God yes.
And it's not actually people who are writing those things down. It's the Lord downloading the words that people then write down so that today it would be 100% true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It is. I love this, the proof of the Bible, because like some of this new stuff I hear online, oh, so many ways I could go right now, but Bill Maher, who I listen to occasionally because he thinks stuff out. He's not just a pretty face or a comedian. And but he is so convinced that Jesus and the disciples did not coexist. They did not live at the same time. And so they were just hearing stories about a Jesus. And so it's and stuff like that. And it makes people then, it puts doubt in people's hearts.
Does.
I mean, I'm sure you see it all the time, or you've had people try to confront you. With,
oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's the problem, is even throughout this journey, studying and researching different scientific fields, people come up with questions against biblical history, questions against the authority of God. And if you don't have an answer, there are two ways you can go with that. You can say, well, I don't have an answer, but I trust that God's word is true. Or you can say, well, I don't have an answer, so maybe I should question my faith, right? And so many people go this way.
Yeah.
But there is a third option.
Yeah,
and the third
on.
Option is the best, and that is, well, I don't have an answer, but I know for a fact that God's word has stood the test of time
Amen.
For thousands of
Amen.
Years. I
Amen.
Know it's true,
yes.
and therefore, let me go out and explore and research and find the answer, because there is an answer.
It. People are just, to me, I'm telling you, there's a huge population of just lazy people.
Yeah.
They're not doing the research. They're not doing the, because they'll say, well, the Bible contradicts itself, or this can't be true. And they're misquoting the Bible. But no, I've studied, and I study other religions when I was younger.
Yes.
But history, world history, and that kind of stuff, because I wanted to know, not just because I was raised in a little Pentecostal church, and then everybody, hallelujah, we know everything, nobody else knows anything. I didn't want to just take it for granted. I had want to do the research, and I find that just people are lazy.
Yes.
That's
well,
why they...
Now, I'm going to give those kind of people an excuse, because let's just say everybody goes through difficult periods of life. Everybody is trying to work really hard in what they do, and sometimes they don't have the means nor the opportunity to be able to research things on their own.
Well,
But...
You've got the internet now that...
But we have done the research for them.
There you go.
All you
there
have to
is the,
do.
That's good. I'm sorry, I'm not pointing at you. Yes, your ministry or your organization, I mean, there is the answer.
Right.
Yeah,
we have
done the
thousands
research.
Of articles on a website that we call thecreationclub.com. We have...
Creation Club. Put that down, Larry.
Yeah. Thecreationclub.com. We have thousands upon thousands of articles where we've already researched this. We've already published on so many of these things. We've translated them into Tagalog and Romanian and Portuguese and Spanish. So it doesn't matter where you are on earth. You can plus we put out a free magazine sent every other month free of charge.
Wait a minute, I like that price. What's that called? How do we do that?
That is called the Creation Club Magazine. And all you have
to
do is you can go to davidreeves.com. That's davidreeves.com. davidreeves.com. Click on magazine. All you have to do is put in your information, hit submit, and you're going to get the very next episode of that magazine free of charge, delivered to your mailbox. Science articles, helping you understand your faith.
I'm doing it.
Kids. Activities that you can pass this magazine on to your grandchildren or children. We've done the work. There's no excuse for us to be lazy anymore.
No.
Let's go out and defend our faith.
Yeah, it is. And here's some evidence proof. Now, what would this prove to us? Because now this was a piece of wood.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yeah. This is, okay, so first I'm going to throw out the scientific name. This is the stigmaria of a polystrate lycopod. Yeah.
Can see
polystrate lycopod lepidodendron or lepidoflora tree. Now, let me break it down. It's a piece of basically petrified wood, fossilized root of wood, okay? This comes from, guess where? East Tennessee.
Really?
That is correct.
Now, folks, it could break this desk in half. It's that heavy and so strong.
It is that heavy. But you can see the little pits in it where the rootlets and the little vegetation came out of it. All right, now here is what I'm about to tell you. In the 1970s, there was a picture in National Geographic, full-page spread.
Y'all ought to be taking notes. I'm taking notes. This is good.
Full-page
1970s,
spread
National Geographic.
Of a tree that was blasted away with a piece of dynamite in a coal seam in East Tennessee. This tree is, several feet in diameter. It's standing upright, turned to stone in a cliff face. Now, National Geographic said in the little caption, it was like, this is evidence that there must have been a catastrophic flood. But of course, they say, so there was probably a massive river that overflowed its banks or something like that. And it buried the tree really, really rapidly underneath 40 feet of mud. And then that mud lithified the tree. It turned it to stone. It fossilized it, right?
Okay.
Okay, well, let's talk about what type of a catastrophe it would take to bury a tree 40 feet in mud quick.
Yes.
That the tree would not rot, the tree would not fall over, it would be turned to stone. This sounds to me like maybe we're talking about a catastrophic event of biblical proportions, maybe like a gigantic flood.
Yes, I don't know what he's talking about.
Now, we have a massive section of one of these trees on display in the Wonder Center and Science Museum in Dixon, Tennessee.
You guys, I got to show a picture again. You guys got to go. Dixon, Tennessee, and it's not far from here. You can visit our show, go see the museum.
Absolutely.
And all. I mean, it could probably take you several days to probably go through this museum, but man, you get... we got to go there. We got to take a camera there and go and just show it.
I think you need to do a live on location from there.
Thank you. We will do it. We will set that up. And you have to be there.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, and promote the museum, because I think everybody ought to go, you know, especially if you're going to come and see the Ark Encounter and all that. Come on down to Dixon. We're not that far.
Not at all.
No, that would be great. And this is like a meteor or something that came from the sky?
I don't know where your camera's facing. I don't know those who are watching as opposed to listening.
Let me put it
go
here.
For it.
Oh, my gosh. It's heavier than I thought. Seriously. I'm not acting. That's true. Truly heavy.
So this is a almost 100% iron with a little bit of nickel. It is a meteorite that fell in Campo del Cielo in Argentina, the field of the heavens.
What
in
was
Argentina.
That town again?
Campo del Cielo. It means field of heaven.
Ooh.
And Kevin, you could enjoy that. Field of heaven.
I like that. It rhymes with Kevin.
and this is just one chunk off of a much larger piece. So it's a meteorite, fell from space. We have a much larger chunk of this in the museum that kids can walk up to and touch and feel. So these types of artifacts, what we're trying to do is we want it to be visual. As you walk into the museum, we greet you with a 55-foot-long Camarasaurus, a long-necked dinosaur stretching its neck into the second story.
Nice.
Then you're going to start walking through the halls and into these exhibit halls, and you'll see not just a piece of a petrified tree, but you're going to watch a 20-minute mini movie, an adventure, where we take you to the tree and we show you what it means scientifically.
Oh, cool.
You're going to walk into the wonders of astronomy, the wonders of paleontology. You're going to see and touch actual pieces that fell from space.
Come on.
You're going to walk into the wonders of zoology and be able to hold a bearded dragon or a gecko and look at their feet and how their feet are some of our inspirations for suction cups, for Velcro, for some of these things, right?
Yeah.
Because, Kevin, what we found is that throughout history, there's something called biomimicry. And that is, we create something, we invent something, and we say, whoa, look at what we've created. And then we find it in nature.
Already in nature.
Because God has already created it.
All the time. All the time. And they're finding, like, your brain function can be enhanced by the jellyfish.
Right.
The helmets in football now, because they studied the woodpecker.
Yes.
Because it can do all that without brain damage. I love that stuff.
I have a friend who's...
I'm going to the museum. I'm going today. Bye. Everybody, see you.
I have a friend who's the dean of engineering at Liberty, and he's actually looking at football helmets and how to use biomimicry to, as you're saying, to increase the effectiveness against concussions. Because what we find, God has already done it better than we could ever accomplish.
He has. So good. Oh, man. I just don't want to run out of time. Oh, come on. 10 minutes left? Are you serious? Oh, I should have stopped talking sooner. But So meteorites, though, I hear all the time that the dinosaurs disappeared because of this.
Yeah, this case. So
asteroid shower. But how is that?
No, that's a common misconception.
No, not so much.
I hate to tell you.
It was probably the flood, right?
Yeah, it was mostly the flood. Some dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are just big lizards, right? They're healthy lizards.
And we still got lizards in that.
Right.
Yeah.
We still have lizards today. They're just not as large or as healthy.
Because God knew better than we could not live around with those T-Rexes and Stegosaurus, whatever.
Well, I have...
Velociraptors.
I have, and in fact, it's in the museum. I spent 2 days in Texas casting the footprints of a theropod, a three-toed dinosaur like a T-Rex. It's called an Acrocanthosaurus. It means high-spined lizard. Acro, high. Cantho, spine, saurus, lizard. Similar to a T-Rex, one of 63 footprints in a row where this thing is walking along, leaving its footprints. Well, I hand-casted one. It's on display at the museum. Now, Kevin, let me ask you this. Last time you were at the beach, you left your footprints in the sand.
I did.
How long did those footprints last?
Well, the water took them away.
Yeah, so. Till the next tide,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... why do we still find dinosaur footprints preserved? Why weren't they washed away? If they had lasted, if they had sat around for even a couple of days, they would have been eroded and washed away.
Yeah.
So how do you have dinosaur footprints preserved in stone? These dinosaurs are running away from something very catastrophic, a layer of mud, a water and mud tsunami, kind of like a big catastrophic flood would cause, then came in and the mud covered over the footprints, preserved it so it wasn't eroded away.
Yeah.
And then so much sediment was stacked on top of that that it dried it out and started turning it into stone. Now, what would cause this? Now, by the way, Kevin, I'll point out, those layers, they only contain the dinosaur footprints. A few miles up the road, in the next layers up, you find the actual dinosaurs. They were running along, and they themselves got caught up in the mud, right?
Yeah.
So
well,
again,
this makes so much sense. Why are they not telling this in the real world?
Well, sadly, it is because it's an accountability issue.
Wow.
In science... even though all of science is pointing back to biblical history being correct, because if there is a creator, then that means that we're his creation and we're accountable to him.
Yeah.
So many people say, well, then I must explain everything in a naturalistic origin so that I can make my own choices, so that I can do what I want to do. And that accountability problem is what has held science back.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. What if we had been studying biology and medicine from a creation perspective, from a design perspective, for these last several generations? Then we might have discovered new principles in medicine that would take us closer to anti-cancer treatments, that would take us closer to breakthrough discoveries in science, that would bring us farther along only if we would have trusted what God told us in his word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, pharmaceutical companies don't want any answers to that. But, you know, like this total eclipse happened, and I heard some saying this happened because of climate change, which is really ridiculous because eclipses happen forever. So what do you say to the climate? Obviously the things in the heavens, too, because you're an astronomer as well. So... you know, are we changing or is this a cycle?
Yes.
I mean,
what I say is unequivocally, climate change is real, especially in Tennessee. It changes from one day to the next, all right?
It is. It's getting hot in here as we speak. It's getting warmed up.
But here's the issue. Climate change is real. The climate changes. There are solar cycles that affect our climate. There are all sorts of things that affect our climate. However, the evidence for man-made climate change is very, very slim.
Yeah.
And here's what we ought to be thinking about.
Yeah.
Why are we elevating ourselves to the position of authority like somehow we are in control of the climate?
Right?
There is one who can control the weather. That's
Preach.
The reason they call it an act of God. Acts of God means that he's in control. We should stop elevating ourselves to God, and we should trust that He has a plan.
I love it.
And that He will, at the appropriate time, take care of us, give us everything we need. And yes, there may be cooling cycles, there may be warming cycles, but ultimately, there's the gospel, which means that we have an eternal future that we can look forward to without any of these earthly problems.
No, I know. And, you know, you see how they announced that climate change, so we all could accept that. But it was global warming before.
Right.
Well, we can't say that. It's really not global warming.
So I was actually, last weekend, I guess it was, I was with two NASA astronauts.
Yeah.
I was speaking, Colonel Jeff Williams was speaking, and General Charlie Dukes was speaking out in Dallas 2 days before the eclipse. We spoke to about 800 people.
So you were
people.
In Dallas when the eclipse?
I was.
So you were a prime spot
well,
there.
I actually was in Dallas the day before the eclipse.
Oh.
I flew back to Nashville. I drove up to Cape Girardeau, set up telescopes and photography equipment, and I had a 100% blue sky for the eclipse.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually go to our social media, David Reeves Ministries, and check out those
Remember,
photos.
It's David Reeves, R-I-V-E-S. Looks like Rives, but it's Reeves. DavidReeves.com and get that stuff.
Yeah.
And, of course, get the magazine. I'm going to do that as soon as I get home. CreationClub.com and check all that out. But so I want to say that before we go. Oh, we got so much. Because I was going to ask you, you've got the book 21, and you need to get the book, 21 Verses Backed by Science. This is a great tool for our arsenal of argument against this all this junk, I'm sure. Just quick, as quick as you can, maybe in 2 minutes. Give me a verse that's backed by science.
Okay. I'll give you a quick story of a fellow by the name of Matthew Fontaine Maury. He was known as Pathfinder of the Seas, and his story goes something like this. He's lying in bed in the 1800s, extremely ill. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. His daughter comes in with a Bible, sits down next to him, opens the Bible, and says, Matthew, I'm just going to read you some scripture to try to make you feel better. She opens the Bible randomly to Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When she got to that verse, Matthew sat up in bed. Her father sat up in bed and said, what did you just say? Paths of the sea? Paths of the sea? You see, Matthew was a naval commander.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I ever get out of this bed, I'm going to figure out what it means by paths of the sea. So he didn't say, oh, that's just poetry. He said, there's a reason that the Bible says paths of the sea. So he devotes his life's effort to charting the ocean currents, the paths of the sea, that ships still follow to this day. And there's a monument erected in Matthew's honor in Virginia. It says to Matthew Fontaine Maury, pathfinder of the seas, the genius who first snatched from the oceans the secret of their laws, but his inspiration was holy writ. In other words, what I would tell you is the Bible knows best. There are verses backed by science, 21 verses in the book that I go through, backed by science that will deepen your faith and make you a more effective witness for Christ.
Yes, you need that. You need that. You need that. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. These paths of the sea, they're real.
They're real.
I mean, the whole, well, I don't know, how to explain it exactly, but I know I've heard of that it's and the today the naval captain the navy
that
goes by these paths of the sea. Oh my gosh, that is too great. There's so much, and time is already gone. Please, please, please come back. I don't care what I have to do to get you back, David. Thank you so much. And do y'all see them boots? Do you look at it right there? There's proof of petrified something.
Petrified caiman right there. That's an alligator.
Is that an alligator? Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Thank you so much. It is David Reeves, RIVES.com, creationclub.com. Go to the, where can we watch Wonders Without Numbers?
Wonders Without Number, it airs on NRB Network. It airs on GSN, which you can get to. That's online and on Roku. Tell your Roku or your Amazon Fire TV, download the Genesis Science Network app, and you can watch that program. Or you can view it 24/7 on YouTube or on GenesisScienceNetwork.com.
Yes, I'm writing it down because we have
Genesis
Roku. That's all
Science
we do is Roku.
I
put rock. I meant Roku. All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate it. I skipped
Thank
my
you,
song
David.
Just so we could have more time together. So we don't need another song. I'll sing it tomorrow. but it's already the noon hour, and I appreciate your time and sharing just a bit. Oh, I've got so many questions, and I think everybody else does. Send in your questions so the next time he comes in, you know, maybe next month we get him in next month, and we'll ask those questions, and we'll get them live, because this is great, great ammunition, a great tool, whatever you want to call it, for when people give up this garbage about whatever, from climate change to dinosaurs and the age of the Earth. That's so important. I mean, they've even got the right where the sun stood still in Joshua's time, right? Isn't that calculated in from what they found in space? And oh my goodness, I love it all. And he could expound on it all, but we got to go. But I'm glad that you watched today, and I pray that it was a blessing to you. And mostly, please, if you're on Facebook, push the share button and share it. Zuckerberg didn't know that share meant share the gospel, but we're sharing it and share the truth of it. And if you're ever in the area, let me show the picture again. There is the, what's it called, museum?
The Wonders Center and Science Museum, wonderscenter.org.
Yes, in Dixon, Tennessee. So make sure you do that. I don't want to say goodbye, but we have to say goodbye. And man, push the share button, tell somebody, get part of our network on the AM Kevin Club network on YouTube. That way this is archived, so this show is always there. You can point people to it. Just tell them, type in the David Reeves program, whatever. It's all there. The tools are there. Use them. Let people know Jesus is the answer. Amen. For this world today. And we'll see you tomorrow. It's a Fritzy Friday tomorrow. Yay!
This brings to a close another edition of AM Kevin. We're glad you could join us. If you'd like to contact us, you can write us at Kevin Shorey Ministries, P.O. Box 222, Pleasant View, Tennessee, 37146. Our email address is kshoreymin@aol.com, and you can visit our website, kevinshorey.com. Be sure and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you do, be sure and hit the like button and the notification bell so you'll know when we go live. Join us again next time when we present another edition of AM Kevin. And remember, Jesus is the answer for this world today. AM Kevin is part of the outreach ministry of Kevin Shorey Ministries, Inc., all rights reserved.